Hey, and welcome to Saturate with your host, gospel singer, and Bible teacher, Chris Norman. Saturate is a program where we study to show ourselves approved, not ashamed, and rightly dividing the word of truth. So grab your Bible and study along with us as we dig deeper in order to expose a lot of erroneous preconceived ideas about God's word. As we prepare to study, let's pray. Father, thank you for making your word available to us, and thanks for the Holy Spirit's anointing to discern what we read today. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, here's your host, Chris Norman.
Hello, my friends. This is Chris, of course, and this is Saturate, and you're at the right place. We got a lot to do today. Let's turn in our Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. And I'm going to start reading. Then he said unto them, now this is Nehemiah. Let me just give you a quick setting. If you know anything about Nehemiah, Nehemiah was a captive along with the rest of the Jews during the time of Cyrus, the king of Persia. Artaxerxes actually was in here, but it was the Persian Empire that had taken over the Babylonian Empire. We were getting toward the ends of their captivity. But anyway, he had prayed and fasted and asked God to give him favor with the king, and he got it. And the king gave him permission to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls and rebuild the city. And so they're there. They've got the walls built, and they've just started reading the book of the law to the people, and the people are all excited. Well, actually, the people were whining and crying because obviously they saw their sin, as we've talked about many times. But listen to verse 10. It says, and then he said to them, go eat the festival foods and drink the sweet drinks and send portions to him who has nothing prepared, for this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your refuge. In this version, it says refuge. In your King James, it says the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you're familiar with Psalm chapter 30, there's the verse in there that says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I want to tell you today, folks, the joy of the Lord is your strength. There's not an onslaught from Satan that could come and keep you bound. Satan cannot sustain the attack forever. No matter what he's come against you with, he cannot sustain it forever, because the joy of the Lord, the strength of the Lord that's in you, is greater than he that's in the world. Let me do this song real quick, and we're going to jump right into this. Call somebody on the phone. Tell them, I think it's going to be a good one. Hang on, baby. Here it is. Called Testify.
Well, I went to church last Sunday. I heard the preacher stand up and say, I've been talking to the Lord, and we're going to do something different today. Yes. I don't know about the rest, but I can tell that most are blessed. So when I call out your name, come on, stand up and testify.
Testify.
Oh, yeah. Let's get started. Go to John chapter 15. That's St. John 15. While you're turning there, I'm going to tell you, this is when Jesus was with the 11. Judas had already departed and was headed to the temple to get the guards to betray Jesus. They're in the upper room. This is where we have the Last Supper. And Jesus is trying to give them some information that's very important before he leaves. And this is the last conversation he has with them, other than the one in the Garden of Gethsemane, but they weren't really listening there. So this is the last one where he's trying to impart some stuff to them. And it gets to the point where he just tells them, you know, I've got so much to tell you, but you're just not ready yet. Well, anyway, we'll get there. If we start in verse 10, John 15, 10 says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Now listen, people, he's got joy that he gives us, but we have joy. We have joy inside of us. And that's what the Father wants us to have as a, we're going to find out why. I want to find out why. Let's do this little commercial and we'll be right back.
SaturateNow.com. If you'll go to that website, you can get information about Crossroads Gospel Singers, where we're going to be. You can even book our group if you'd like. You can also get radio content for this Saturate program. You can even download music as well. The site is under construction, so keep coming back to see what changes have been made. If you desire to make a tax-deductible donation to the ministry, SaturateNow.com is the place to go. Thanks for your generous support of the ministry. God bless you.
Hey, you turn on over and you're at 15, so let's scoot on over to 16. We'll quickly just say this is Jesus talking to them. He said in verse 5, he says, but now I go my way to him that sent me. None of you ask me whither I go. I've got to paraphrase this. He just plainly tells them there's just so much I got to tell you. And they start asking questions, and he can tell by their questions that they don't really quite understand what's going on. And so in chapter 17, he finally just cuts them off and he starts praying. It says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy son, that thy son may also glorify thee. Thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou with me, with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee from before the world was. I have manifested thy name to the men which are thou hast given me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee, for I have given unto them these words which thou gavest me. And it just goes on and on and on. You need to read it. You need to read it. And it says at verse 13, and now I come to thee, and these things I speak in this world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Now look what he said. All this whole discourse and all this prayer he's praying. Think of the things he could have said right there. Think of what the things he could have said. You know, he could have said, and now I come to thee, and these things I speak in this world, that they might have my faith. You know, he was all the time talking about being of little faith, or, you know, having a discourse with them about faith. And faith is super important. Absolutely. But he didn't say that my faith would remain in them. He said that my joy would be fulfilled in them. Folks, that means that looked like we're scratching on some pay dirt here about something that's important. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy is what comes in and gives us the power. I'm telling you, I don't have the time today to talk about it. This whole thing takes at least an hour just to break ground on it. But joy is so connected to everything that's in the walk of a Christian. You look at joy. What does it say joy is? It says, what are the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace. Look where joy is nestled right there between love and peace. Long-suffering, meekness, patience, temperance, all these things. Joy's in there. And you're going to find out without joy, you can't have the rest of them. Without love, you can't have joy. Without joy, you can't have peace. Without peace, you're not going to have long-suffering. These things are hinged on top of each other. So the joy of the Lord is so super-duper important. It's not, you know, so many today, yes, we have the joy of the Lord. Joy, 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 joy. Down in my heart. Where'd you get it? I don't know. You know, people don't really know about it. But the Bible is very explicit talking about how the joy is. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren. Now he says, finally. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And let me let you know something right here. If you're going to walk this walk, you can't be no namsy-pamsy. You're going to have to be strong, folks. You're going to have to put on some strength. And a lot of people think they're going to get it from their own self, but the Bible says we're weak. Paul even says, I rejoice in my weakness because when I'm weak, he is strong. And that's what he was praying that prayer back there in John chapter 17. He said, I'm saying these things into this world. He was using his God-given mouth on this earth to speak powerful words into this creation. And he said, I'm speaking these things in here so that my joy will be fulfilled in them. Now, folks, it's important that we have the joy of the Lord and that we let it do its job, and that's to give us the strength. And I'm going to tell you right real quick, joy and happiness have nothing to do with each other. Well, I won't say they don't have anything to do with each other. Sometimes they're kin to each other. You can get happiness comes sometimes when you have joy, you may have happiness come, but it's not the same thing. You can have a broken heart and still be filled with joy when happiness is far from you. You can still be filled with joy. You know, I really wanted this to go a different direction, but when I'm making this recording today, we're in the midst of this Kerrville, Texas disaster that the flood has killed all those people and taken away the lives of a bunch of little children. And I'm telling you today, folks, there are people right now who are never going to be the same again, not on the face of this earth. I know how some of them feel, not quite. Two of my children have passed from this earth, and it's a horrible thing. And you tend to be grief-stricken. Now, there's a difference between mourning and grief, and I wish I had more time. I see my time running out quickly. But you can mourn, and we are to mourn. It helps us. There's a time of lamenting, and that's a whole process that I need to talk about in another program. But grief. Have you ever heard somebody say, oh, good grief? There is no such thing as good grief. Grief is the opposite of glory. Glory is heaviness of everything that's good, and grief is heaviness with everything that is bad. There's no such thing as good grief. The Bible says he bore our sorrows and he carried our griefs. If he did, that means obviously he doesn't want us to. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. He said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, talking about people which have passed away, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Folks, we're going to see them again. If there's no other comfort in your heart to know except to know that you will see them again, especially those children. The Bible talks about children are alive unto the Lord. There's no question about those children are in heaven. Oh, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt that you can't put your arms around them again until the day you meet them again. But folks, we have a great hope today. And we have the joy of the Lord in our hearts that will give us strength to go on another day. And whatever situation you're in right now, I am so out of time. You reach down in there and you grab a hold of that joy and you shuck off that grief and you tell it to leave you alone and get out of it. You might feel guilty saying, but I ought to grieve. No, you shouldn't grieve. You might need to mourn for a season. But there comes a time when you've got to let it go and draw on the strength of the Lord. The main thing is don't let this catastrophe cause you to turn your back on God. You keep talking to God. It's okay if you call, ask him why. You know, it's okay to ask him, what am I supposed to do now? It's okay to quote his word to him and come to him with your grief and your broken heart. But don't turn your back on God. Don't be silent with God. That'll never fix a thing. We love you, and if anything we can do to help, please contact us and let us know, and we'll get with you. I hope this helps. We're going to talk about this some more. Thanks for tuning in to Saturate today. God bless you. Same time, same place. We'll see you again. Bye-bye.